Get the best odds on all the big games this March. Download the Circa Sports Iowa app today.
Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. It's football and random things here on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. Powered as always by, or fueled by Cody Road. Pick up a bottle of Cody Road bourbon, maybe the Iowish liqueur. I think I probably could have drank about three bottles of Cody Road.
I was going to say, I bet their sales were terrific at about 2:30 p.m. on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, I would imagine so. It was not a very good weekend, Jeff Woody.
Well, the Chiefs won on Thursday, and the Vikings got they got their ass kicked, too. So,
the Vikings lost. Hey, the Denver Nuggets won. Forced game seven.
There you go. The Clippers. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Good things can happen.
But most notably, the Iowa State 31-14 loss to Louisiana. We're going to dive all the way into it here on the podcast. Where would you like to start, Jeff?
I think that, to me, the biggest elephant in the room is the final 4 minutes where there were no timeouts called. So, I mean, for those that know football pretty well, that was really abnormal, because a lot of times the first week comes with kind of the dumb crap that you see, you know, the bad timing. Like the fact that Brock and the receivers were so off was both surprising and unsurprising at the same time. Like Charlie and Tariq are really the only two guys that played significant, and Shaw were the only ones that played significant snaps last year, but even Tariq and Shaw are playing different positions, so the rhythm is going to be different. Charlie wasn't playing, and Chase isn't a receiving tight end, he's a blocking tight end, and Sainer is playing fullback. So like they're all playing different positions. So you knew it was going to take a little bit to get going. It was shoddier than I thought. But it's not surprising that it was shoddy in the first place. It was just shoddier than what I was expecting. It'll get better. But the thing that as far as coming from the, if you know football very well, that final 4 minutes, usually I think that to me, it wasn't necessarily like once it got inside of like 2 minutes or 90 seconds, calling timeouts was really sort of like, you know, throwing a life raft to, or whatever, to the Titanic. Like it's not going to save the whole thing. You can maybe salvage a couple opportunities, but that's it. But to have no timeouts being called between the like 4 minutes and 2 minutes, like nothing in there, that to me was a stern message from Campbell to the team, to me. So the way that I'm kind of viewing this is, imagine you are a 16-year-old kid and you got arrested for a public intox, minor in public, and you got arrested and taken back to the police station. You had one phone call and you called your dad. And when you called your dad, what is your response and what is his response? And if you are Matt Campbell's child, you are spending the night in jail. And if you're Matt Campbell's football team, you look up at the clock and see the clock tick down and the coaches aren't bailing you out. Like, it wasn't necessarily that they played with poor effort, because I think the effort was fine. It's just, it's really hard to do things right. And like special teams are the epitome of this. And so the special teams are really bad. So on special teams, it's effort and attitude is the only thing that, like, that's why scrappy, gritty white kids are really good on special teams, because all it takes is just a plucky attitude and an understanding of what the general goal is, which is, I need to run as fast as I can to get to a spot and stay in my lane. Okay, that's it. That's your entire job on like kickoff coverage and on punt coverage, is run as fast as you can and stay in your lane. Well, if you're running a 100-meter dash and everyone else is running towards the finish line and you're running as fast as you can at a 45-degree angle into the infield of the football stadium that you're running in, well, you're running at full effort. You're just not putting it in the right direction. So the team on special teams was running like their hair was on fire. The effort was fantastic. The attention to detail was garbage. And when someone's trying to block you away from a spot on, say, special teams, and you need to fight across his face, you can run really fast and just think that you're going to beat him, just, or you think you're going to do whatever, and you never make it there. So they were making mistakes on detail. And their only thing that detail mistakes like on special teams are from is lack of focus and lack of a desire to do the right thing. And I think Coach Campbell, by the end of the game, was doing a little bit of calculus of calculus number one. This is more or less a redshirt season. Like, yes, there's going to be national championships. Yes, there's going to be, like, you're playing games, but everyone can redshirt if they want to. So you may lose some guys. Your Eisworth may go to the league if he gets a good enough draft grade, and you might lose some of those guys, but you're getting a ton of reps. This is also a non-conference game. So technically speaking, if you lose this one and win the rest, it doesn't matter. So, like, the game is more or less a redshirt game inside of a redshirt year. So as far as risks and stakes are concerned, not that high. If you were to say you call timeouts and you put Brock out there with the offensive line doing as poor as they were, and Brock takes a helmet to the shoulder, and now you lose Brock Purdy trying to come back from a 10-point deficit in the final 32 seconds because you want to maybe score a touchdown, get the onside kick, then score another touchdown or whatever, the risk of injuring Brock based on the offensive line play exceeded the necessity of trying to get the offense back on the field. So when you're looking at it being like, okay, this game doesn't matter and we don't want to hurt Brock, and we can teach a lesson at the same time. You know what? You called me because you made mistakes. You decided to go drinking with your friends when you're 16. You're going to have to live with the consequences. This is what it's like if you don't compete. This is what it's like if you don't do it. If you want to not compete, we're not going to bail you out. If you don't want to play, we're not going to make you. So to me, that seems like the message that was being communicated from Campbell to the team, because he doesn't seem like a guy that does things without thought. It's not willy-nilly and it's not quitting on anything. It's essentially saying, like, look, the rest of this game doesn't matter if you guys don't want to play. Don't want to play? Fine. I'm not going to force you to. So that, in my mind, is where the message is going to come from, which will lead to two things. One is they respond to that and say, they look in the mirror. And I think when Eric Heft was doing the interviews, I really liked what Eisworth said, is the way you fix what's going on, the way you improve, is you look really hard in the mirror. So you can either take that and go, what did I do wrong and how can I do it better? Or you look at each other and go, you did this and you did this and you did this, and you start pointing fingers at everybody, and that tends to go really far south really fast. So that's my general theory on what the purpose of that final 4 minutes was, and essentially letting the clock go down, is we could keep fighting, put our guys at risk, or use this as a teaching opportunity to say, all right, this is what it looks like if you don't do what's right. Here you go.
See, but here's the other piece of this that I think is frustrating to some people, is that, one, it's not like this is an isolated incident. This has happened 5 years in a row now, more or less, where in these first games, something like this happens,
triple overtime last year with Northern Iowa.
Yeah. And then, you know, obviously the thing 2 years ago was maybe a little bit weird because of everything that happened with the first game being rained out, and then you got to go on the road to play Iowa. But they still got their asses kicked in that game, more or less. The first time they lost to Northern Iowa in Campbell's first season, and that team was not good. So, like, that, it is what it is. But that's piece number one. That, to me, there is something that's going on in, like, the lead up to these first games where they just consistently don't look like they care to play the first game, or they don't look prepared to play, you know? And that's one thing to me that is somewhat frustrating, but that aside, whatever, you know, that's a whole other different deal that, like, is kind of, I think, is becoming a systemic trend within the program that eventually will have to be fixed. I don't know what the answer to that is, but I think the other thing that's frustrating is that in the last three games that we've seen the majority of these guys play, it has been a very similar situation where they've come out and they've gotten punched in the mouth pretty early on in the game, or something has happened, and then it kind of looks like, man, I'm ready to take my ball and go home. Kansas State, Notre Dame, and now this one. And that's where I just have a question of, it's like, what flipped? Where all of a sudden, like, something, it's like in the Kansas State game, it was the same thing. It was a kick return for a touchdown. And all of a sudden, though, the entire vibe of the game changed. In the Notre Dame game, it was they fumbled a punt return. And all of a sudden, Notre Dame goes down and scores. You go three and out, or you fumble again on the next play, and then you're just like, ah, shucks, let's get back to Iowa, you know? And that's where, when I look at what happened on Saturday, you give up the kick return, You go down and score again. Trevor Downing gets hurt on that drive. You throw or you give up a field goal right before halftime, and then you give up the punt return, and then everybody's like, ah, man, darn it. Mm-hmm. This team is way better than I think we thought they were going to be. Well, oh, well. And that's what was so frustrating to me, you know, because I feel like there's too many veterans on this team who have played too much. And even if you don't have Charlie, even if you lose Trevor Downing in the game or whatever, like, that's where I look at that offense and I'm like, how do you guys still just go out there and keep doing the same things that you've been doing the entire time? For instance, you throw forcing the ball to Xavier Hutchinson 11 times, which him throwing that interception on that, Brock throwing an interception when he was trying to do that was the most inevitable thing ever, most predictable thing, where it's like you're constantly throwing it to someone who is covered, and eventually you're going to get burned by the fire. And luckily they didn't give up any points off of that, but it's just that was what was frustrating to me. It was just like the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, so the count, it then – thinking that it, to me, it lends more credence to the not calling timeouts at the end of the game to teach a lesson thing, because you go down to Kansas State, it's an in-conference opponent. Kansas State's a good team. You can more or less like mentally do the math, like do the, well, it's fine. It's, you know, Kansas State's good. We just got beat, whatever. You go back to Notre Dame. Notre Dame's really good. Well, Notre Dame just got beat, whatever. This is Louisiana at home. Don't get me wrong. Louisiana's a good team. Sun Belt had a pretty good weekend, not all things considered. But if you consistently go out with the same attitude like you're talking about, it doesn't matter who you're going to play, you're going to get your ass kicked. So there is no excuse at this point. There is no able to move the bar and say, oh, well, this is the reason. Notre Dame's really good. Kansas, we're on the road. It was senior night in Manhattan. Like, there's no excuse that you can find to say, like, oh, they beat us or whatever. This is, I think it again lends itself to saying, okay, this is what happens. If you do not come out and compete, we won't make you compete. That's on you. You guys got to figure out how to do this. So it seems more like it wasn't a waving the white flag for the sake of waving the white flag. It was, this is what it feels like to be quit on. You want to quit? Go for it. This is what it feels like. So I'm really... So we were texting after the game on Saturday, and I think you were more mad than I was. And the reason why I say that is I'm sort of withholding judgment like 4 weeks from now. So if in 4 weeks, this isn't better, like if the offense is still stagnant, if the competitive fire in there is still kind of low on, you know, out of 10, if it's at like a 3, which it kind of was on Saturday, if there's still no increase or no bump in kind of attention to detail, competitiveness like that, you're going to cut my left arm off before I don't get to the punt returner, that kind of thing. If that doesn't improve in 4 weeks, then this is a really bad thing. Like, this is a horrible thing. But if that does, in fact, again, you're to come back to that kind of anecdote, is if you are in the police station, you're sitting the night in jail, you cannot do anything other than think. Like, you have to go, what did I do wrong to do this? There's no excuse you can say, well, you know, someone else did this or someone else did this. It's like, no, you put yourself in this situation. Now you have to find a way to make this situation better. So, yeah, in 4 weeks, if it's still bad, this is even worse. If in 4 weeks things are significantly improving, then I think it's an all's well that ends well thing, because you have to get that attitude out, like, some way. You have to get that I don't want to call it complacency, but that kind of expectation that things are going to be fine and we can do it like 90% of the way, because we're good enough that we can do it. Then that kind of that uproots that. So, but that, if that doesn't get uprooted, then you're going to get your ass handed to you by TCU. You're going to get your ass handed to you by Oklahoma, because it doesn't get any easier from here. So I think the talent is still there. And we saw things that, like, defense was really good. Like, generally speaking, you're going to have, you know, any team, it doesn't matter what level, like, even the NFL teams had this happen, where, like, DJ Miller goes into a back pedal, and the guy was faster than he expected, just didn't get to see it on film, he didn't recognize it. When he's going from a back pedal to a turn and run, he just got, it was too late. The guy got too far up on his toes, that happens. Like, it's a perfect pass. It's a really good route. The receiver had his hands out really late. That 85 or 83 yard touchdown thing, like, those, that stuff is going to happen. Like, you, in the first couple weeks. But otherwise, defense was awesome. Like, I, generally speaking, tackling was pretty good. There were a couple instances where the tackling got a little shoddy, but in general, they were fitting really well. I was super impressed with the interior defensive linemen. I think Bailey, both Baileys, played really well. I thought Isaiah Lee played pretty well. Latrell Bankston played really well. Like, the interior defensive line was really solid, and then your ends are playing really well. McDonald got another sack. Bailey got another sack. Like, the defense in a general was pretty good. So that talent that we expected to be there is there. On offense, Breece Hall still looks shifty. He's reading things pretty well. And when Downing was in there, there was legitimate push by an Iowa State offensive line. And they were just going like, F you, we're going to move you down the field, because Newell was there. And I forget the other guard. Was it Schweiger? It wasn't. Who was Schreiber? Who was the other guard?
Yeah, it was Derek Schweiger.
Yeah, so Schweiger was on one side and Downing was on the other side, Newell in the middle. There was actual push, and Ramos was just mauling people in the run game. So you had offensive line push. Brock is still Brock. He was off, but I have confidence that that's going to be there. And Hutchinson, it was a mixed bag of things, but the talent is there. It's just getting it all to work together and actually doing things in the right place. The only thing that I think was startlingly bad was special teams. Otherwise, things were okay-ish until they just decided to go, I don't want to do this anymore.
See, and that's where I think I can share some of the frustration with fans in that, again, this team has a lot of guys who are coming back and a lot of experience. And then when you come in and you hear what Brock Purdy had to say about them, overlooking teams because of they're not ranked or they don't have the hype or things like that. That to me is problematic. You know, like, dog, you started like 25 games in your career. How have you not learned to not overlook people? You almost lost to an FCS team last season. Mm-hmm. And that's where I sit here and I'm like, as a fan, you are always wanting to believe, like, the coaching staff and people like that are telling you during the off season that things are getting better and like, and that you guys like feel like really good about where your team is at. And then you come out and you see them play like that in the first game. That's where I sit there and I'm like, why the hell would I believe any of these guys? You know, like, why would I believe that these guys actually are telling me the truth at this point? And that's where I can understand why a fan would be frustrated. And that might be, it might be unfair on some level, but that's just a reality, you know, because like Matt Campbell, we've talked about it here, things that Matt Campbell has said during press conferences and stuff like that over the last several weeks lent you to the belief that this team was going to be considerably different than some of those other teams. Mm-hmm. And what I saw on Saturday did not make me think that that team was any different than some of these other teams.
Right.
Do they have talent? Absolutely. But mentally, they play a lot like the same teams that we've seen the last couple of years.
Which is why I think I'm withholding judgment until week number four is, or not necessarily week number four, just I'm calling it a month down the road. Does the lesson get learned that, because really the only thing that, and I don't think even Louisiana was making good plays. Like, they're playing the man coverage they played in the second half. They were doing that well. But at the same time, they wouldn't win the game without two special teams touchdowns and a blown coverage in the backfield. So there's 21 points that were completely due to the fact that you have these giant, enormous plays. So the only reason that Iowa State lost that game was because they shot themselves so hard in the foot that they couldn't recover from it. And like some of the stuff, like the two, there is two turnovers, right? Like, there was the interception and there was the fumble. The fumble one, that's a thing that Breece is going to learn from. Maybe he's trying to make a play and he was trying to stiff arm while he's going in there. Like, when you get in contact, when you get anywhere near contact, you cover up the ball, live to play another day. Like, that's a lesson that'll come along. Like, that's a mistake that it could happen just as likely in week six as it does right now. The one to Hutchinson, and some of the incompletions, like The incompletion that I was thinking of was a third down. It's like third and six in the first quarter, and they were trying to throw a rhythm turnaround, like a back short kind of paintball, where the
it was our first drive. It was our first drive of the game.
The Aaron Rodgers to Devontae Adams back shoulder paintball thing, like that takes timing, and they've probably worked that timing in practice when it's seven steps in turn or six steps in turn, whatever it is. It was really far behind Hutchinson, probably because he was too like he was hyped up. You're playing a game, so your seven steps are going to be an extra yard and a half farther because you're not used to how much adrenaline you're going to have when you're going against a live dude. So the seven steps were correct, like in concept, and Brock was throwing to where he would throw to in practice probably, but it wasn't, those two things didn't match up. And then the interception, that was that's not going to happen later in the game. That was 60% on Xavier Hutchinson and 40% on Brock, because that ball still hit him in the hands. Like, if you throw that ball to Alan Lazard, you throw that ball to Hakeem Butler, does that ball get picked off? No, it's because he's going to rip the ball. If that touches his hands, that's saying, again, I'm going to cut my left arm before you get this thing. It's the same thing. It's the wide receiver equivalent of the special teams play. Like, it's not that the effort wasn't good. It's that kind of competitiveness to do the right thing that's going to nail everything down. So all those things aside, like, Iowa State just shot themselves in the foot. And so it's really up to them to improve for the rest of the season. It's not necessarily against what the opponents are doing. And it is, and because of all that, it's exclusively a mental thing. Like, it's not a physical task thing. So it's just, yeah, it is. I am curious to see how they respond from this. And we're not going to know until TCU. Like, we're not going to, in practice, they could say, you know, you're going to get quote sound bites, like you were talking about, like, we really, you know, it was a much better practice or whatever. All right, prove it. I want to see on Saturday. I want to see when you actually got bullets flying, what that's actually like. Is it better, or are you just saying that it's better because that's a soundbite that everyone wants to hear? So I'm withholding my judgment until I see if it has or has not improved. I'm definitely not punting on the season. Like, this isn't something you shouldn't be off the bandwagon. You should just kind of understand where the ground is on the outside of the bandwagon, just in case the bandwagon starts to fall apart.
See, and it's like, I'm not mad. I'm disappointed, you know, it's where, like, in the past, man, in the past, when they lose a game like that, you sit there and you're like, oh shit, they just suck. You know, like, they're not any good. But there's enough things in that game that were question marks for us that you saw go positively that you're like, well, I know they're not bad, but still, this still happened. And that's where it's like, I wouldn't even be mad if they sucked. If they sucked, I'd just be like, it'd be apathy. You're just like, yeah, whatever. You know, like, they're not any good. It is what it is. But that's where you're like, this, you want them to see what their talent is and to live up to what their talent is. And that's where I can see where Matt Campbell is like, all right, yeah, y'all don't want to do what we're supposed to do. All right. I don't want to do what I'm supposed to do either. That's fine. You know?
Yeah, you don't want to play? I'm not going to make you.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, okay, cool. You guys can deal with it then. And, I mean, I did feel bad for the defense, because the defense played well enough to win that game for the most part. And you give up two cheap touchdowns on returns where the guy is more or less completely untouched, and give up 14 points, and then you have one bad play by your defense basically in the entire game. Like, that the defense played well enough to win the football game.
Right.
That more or less to me. And that's where I think that if I was Brock Purdy, you know, in that Iowa State offense, I'm going to buy lunch for that defense or something. Cause it's like, man, we messed up. Sorry, fellas. You know, the defense played well enough to win the football game. This didn't have anything to do with the defense. This was on the offense. Special teams.
Offense and special teams. And the thing that I think Whitver said it on the postgame show, it always is. Defenses come along faster than offenses do when all things are held equal. Like in spring ball, you're playing spring ball in the first week and a half, first two scrimmages, whatever you're going to do during spring ball. It's always going to be like a shutout. Like the defense is always going to come along because the offense requires so much timing and rhythm that you got to figure out how to nail everything down close, because anything other than successful offense, neutral offense is bad offense. Like neutral defense, if you play okay defense and the offense drops the ball, it doesn't matter. It's a good defensive play. So offense has to do everything. You have to mind your P's and Q's. You have to catch everything. You have to block everything. You can't miss anything because there is no, the offensive guy tripped. Like there's none of that that's going to exist. Even if the defensive guy trips and falls, you still have to catch the ball. So the defense is always coming around first. The offense is always coming around later. But Sam Ehlinger threw 5 touchdowns, you know, like Spencer Rattler threw for 290 yards and a half. There's no reason why the offense shouldn't be farther along than it is when they have the experience that they do. Granted, by the time the game was over, they had 4 more or less new offensive players or new players in the offensive line. And you have one guy, which would be Chase Allen, who has played the position that he is playing from last year. So they're not super experienced because Sean Shaw was playing X last year, playing Z now, to my knowledge. I think that's the case. Maybe let's lump Sean Shaw in there because Tariq Milton was playing slot. So let's say you have 2 receivers that you're
Blaine
throwing
Brees to. Brees Hall and Brock Purdy.
True. I was talking about receivers, like outside. Because running backs take no timing. Like it's, or take little timing. As long as the offensive line is good, we're going to find a place to take the ball. But like the timing and rhythm and stuff, it's kind of new, but it shouldn't be that far behind. The defense always comes along further, so I'm not surprised the offense isn't the same quality as the defense right now. Eventually they could be, again depending on if they get their head out of their ass, but like they could be that good, but it's going to take a little bit longer to get there. I just figured they'd be farther up that hill at this point.
See, and that's where I think if we get to week 4 and they're not further up that hill, then that's when some serious questions need to be asked about what's the future of certain members of the coaching staff, you know, it's just some sort of conversation. That's like when, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say Tom Mann should be fired today or that they have to go and hire a special teams coordinator or whatever. But it's like, if you get to halfway through the season and with this group of guys that they have, you're not in a considerably better position. Mm-hmm. That's where I feel like there's going to be like, okay, that's when we start to have a conversation about like, okay, what's the problem here? Mm-hmm. You know, because this team should be considerably better than what it is right now. Yeah. And that's where that's one thing I will tell the fans is like, tap the brakes a little bit about the coaching changes thing, because Tom Manning is the same guy who has led one of the most statistically two or three of the statistically best offenses in Iowa State history during his time in Ames. I mean, look at the record book. Like their offenses are still statistically considerably better even than the ones that you played in. And that's where I'm like slow down, slow your roll just a little bit. I understand your frustration, but just slow down a little bit. Give it a little bit more time. If we get halfway through the season and it's still like that, okay.
That's when
can have a conversation.
Yeah, fire and brimstone can come out once you get into the – if it's still – if you're still averaging, what was it, 4 yards per completion?
Yeah.
Like
No. They average 9 yards per completion, but 4 yards per attempt.
Yeah. So if you're still in that range, like under 7, that's when you can start to be a little more fire and brimstone. Like right now, it is a situation that I would honestly guess that the coaches, it's the expression, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Like, the coaching staff probably has put these guys in a position to be like, all right, you guys need to lead from the inside. You guys need to be the ones that carry the emotion. You guys need to be the one to do this, because none of the coaching staff, as far as like an emotion or expectation or motivation, whatever standpoint, like they're all really level-headed guys. Like there's not a ton of, when you go to practice, there's not a ton of like screaming and yelling and, you know, kind of the hype man. There's no Ray Lewis's on that coaching staff. So like the energy and motivation energy, like the actual doing it has to come from the players. And so the coaches probably know that. And they're saying like, all right, this one's on you guys. Let's go do it, because you are going to be the ones that have to lead the way. The players have to be the ones that they have to pick up the baton. So like, I'm less Perhaps the coaching staff can do a different job or better job of preparing that, but I don't know. It seems like the concern that I have is less in the coaching staff and more in the players' response to it. And then again, you could take the other view of it and say, well, the coach should be better at getting the guys ready to go, you know, whatever it is. So my mind is more in the less in the let's question the coaching staff, let's fire the coaching staff. It's so far out of the realm of my thinking, but it is, we need to understand, there needs to be leadership, like strong leadership that comes out of this little fire that lends itself to the rest of the season.
For sure. One of my favorite stories from playing basketball is that there was a time where we were watching film when I was in college, and there was a thing that we did in our defensive scheme where you would have to chase people around screens. So instead of like going under screens and stuff, like, you were always chasing them, staying right behind them, whether you had to grab a hold of them or whatever it may be, if you could do it without getting called for foul. But that was kind of against like what a lot of people would normally be taught to do before, where it's like denying the ball and stuff like that, and whatever, like that's beside the point. But our coach is watching the film and he plays a clip and he's like, you know, they say you can't lead a horse to water, or you can lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink. And he's, and there's kind of a pause and he's like, well, it's time to drink up, mother. And the way he said it was so perfect that it was like, I was sitting in the back. I wasn't the one in trouble, cause I, you know, I wasn't chasing people off screens too often. I was more the guy guarding this person setting the screen. And I had to try so hard not to laugh, cause it was just so perfect the way that he said it. Very
perfect timing and delivery.
Yeah. Yeah. But now I just imagine Matt Campbell sitting in his, in film saying, it's time to drink up, mother effers.
That is a good line. That's nice. It's a quality adaptation of that.
Yeah,
but I'm interested to see how they respond. That's my biggest thing that I'm coming away with this weekend, because that was a turd of a second half, objectively, a turd of a second half. So how do you respond? You know, like how do you come back from that?
I mean, I was telling you and Jay that I thought they were going to pull away and beat them by two touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. The way they were running the ball before the Downing injury. The way they were getting offensive line movement, Brees wasn't getting touched till 4 or 5 yards down the field, which as a side note, again, it's not an excuse to say when Downing goes down, because you have scholarship to offensive linemen everywhere. You should be able to put one in and at least do a similar job. It's not saying that you're going to they're starters for a reason. They're the best ones for a reason, but you shouldn't put a guy in and then instantly you get 80% worse. Like that shouldn't be the case. So it's not an excuse to say that, but it is an example of how good Trevor Downing is. Like for people that aren't really sure, like how offensive linemen make a difference, that don't understand like, hey, what can you do? When Downing was in there, how much more movement did the offensive line get than when he was not in there? Like it's a one-to-one start to finish there. So not an excuse, but an example of how good 52 is.
For sure. I need to give a quick shout out to Authentic Brand is more than just your source for official Cyclone gear. With an amazing team of designers, Authentic Brand can custom manufacture polo shirts, jackets, caps, bags, and beyond for your team or small business. Check them out online at authentic-brand.com. Look authentic, feel authentic, be authentic. Was that a good ad read? Do you like that, Jeff?
That was a solid ad read.
Thank you. Maybe
the transition, beautiful.
Maybe those of you at the gym, maybe you guys could hit up authentic-brand.com to get I can't even remember the name right now. The plaid shirts that you were looking at when you showed me the other day.
With as much enthusiasm as you read that copy, I want to go do that.
Man, you want me to do it again?
No, it's fine. But the interesting thing from here forward for Iowa State is not what happened necessarily. Because I don't necessarily have any like anecdotes. I don't remember any time. The only thing that comes to mind is when we were in high school, we would always have Saturday morning film.
Is this where you got your clips for your Welcome to the Jungle video?
Hey, that's a solid highlight tape. That is a solid highlight tape with music that I did not choose. But we'd always have Saturday morning film. So we'd Friday night, you get done. Saturday morning, we'd call it 9 o'clock. Come in, do a little bit of a run to kind of shake everything out. You watch the game, and then you kind of get your grades at that point. And then you go home and do whatever. But I remember it was after a game. We had lost, I think it was Dowling. We lost to a rival team, Dowling, Ankeny, Johnston, something like that. And the coaching staff didn't show up. And that wasn't on accident. That wasn't like everyone overslept. It was, they just elected not to show up to the thing at all. And they were like, they essentially were calling the leaders of essentially being like, look, this is your team. What do you want to do with it? This is, do you want to be quit on? Because this is what it feels like. Do you want to have someone keep trying? Because you have to keep trying too. There's a consequence to what you're doing. So I remember that we ran I was like a sophomore or a junior at the time, but the seniors, like we ran sprints at that just because it was something to do that involved some attitude changing. And I mean, I don't know necessarily the effect of that. I can't recall whether that was like a pivotal turning point, but it's just a memory of thinking that there is a time when you kind of get, you have to take a responsibility for what is your actions, like what you are doing. You have to choose. It's on you. You're the one that's on the field. Like how many touchdowns can a coach score? None. How many completions can a coach throw? None. How many tackles can a coach make? None. So it's the responsibility to me lies inside the locker room to clear everything up and essentially get that Mamba mentality, that Michael Jordan mentality of like, we are going to win and I don't give a damn what we have to do to get to that winning point. So I don't know. I'm interested to see how that develops going forward.
For sure. All right, man. You got anything else that you want to talk about before we wrap up?
Just to clarify any like scheduling things with like TCU and I'm not, cause they had to cancel their game and move it to this weekend, right?
Yeah. They're playing Houston now.
Okay.
On Saturday.
And then they're going to
Wait, no, that's Baylor. It's who Baylor plays. I think SMU. Yeah. They still play SMU.
But it's this weekend.
Yeah.
September 19th. And then they're going to play back to back this game and the following game. Do you know do you know if it was their test numbers or someone else's test numbers for having that canceled?
I think it might have been theirs. I would have to go back and look again, but I'm pretty sure it was theirs. I'm about 75% sure that it was theirs. So, did you see the picture of or the video of Sonny Dykes making fried frog legs in the skillet? Because you know they play for the skillet. It's like the SMU TCU thing. He made fried frog legs on Saturday.
That is skillet. So good.
Yeah.
That is the best trash talk. Yeah. Oh my God, that's wonderful.
That's why I say I think it had to have been TCU. Because I don't think SMU would be doing that if they had had to cancel the game, you know? Yeah.
If they were the ones that were at fault.
Right.
You can't trash talk when you're the ones at fault for postponing the game.
Right. Yeah, I don't know what to think about TCU, man. I'm interested to watch them play just because of, you know, not having Max Duggan.
Like, yeah, Duggan's not playing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what their offense will be like at this point.
When they lost Jalen Reagor for the first time in 13 years, they're not going to have Jalen Reagor in their offense.
And Jalen Reagor balled out yesterday, too. Who's he play for now? He played for Washington,
Philly.
I think.
Philly.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, he had that one long catch that I saw. Man, you know what we can take some solace in knowing? At the end of the day, no matter how poorly the Cyclones might have played on Saturday, no matter how poorly, you know, Kansas State might have played against Arkansas State, at least we can know that we're still not Kansas.
We're still not Kansas.
Who got their asses kicked by Coastal Carolina for the second year in a row.
Did you see they also misspelled one of their players' names? It was like Spencer McVitie, and it's M-A-C-V-I-T-T.
That's their quarterback.
M-A-C-V-I-T-T-I-E, and on the back of his jersey it just said M-A-C-V-I-T-T-E. Like they forgot an I. The equipment team forgot an I in the name of their quarterback. So oops.
Did you see the stop and go route that guy for Coastal Carolina ran for a touchdown?
No, I gave up after 21-0.
Oh, yeah, dude. It was like – it looked like on Madden when you're playing defense and you see someone do a stop and go and the AI defender, like, just runs all the way past him. And then the guy just runs, like, all the way down the field, wide open. It was something else.
It was
– yeah. Yeah. All right, man. We'll talk next week. We'll talk more about the Frogs. Hopefully we will not have to have as serious of a conversation.
I'm hoping. And hopefully the game doesn't get postponed. But that was I said it on the Channel 5 thing. Like the question was, what are your expectations for the year? That they play 8 games. I mean, for stuff like this, like, it's going to be kind of that question mark. Will they, won't they, for pretty much every game this year. So, like, the fact that I'm just hoping that they can play this one in a couple weeks, that's kind of my main goal, number one. And then number two is, does stuff change?
Right. All right, man. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for tuning into the Football and Random Things, and we'll talk to you guys again next week. Peace.